have a challenge, the 3151 challenge, and that is to pray for three people to be saved, right? To learn one gospel presentation, to invite five people to your small group or to worship, and to share the gospel once this month. And each week in our small groups and Sunday school, we are taking that kind of how are we doing? Kind of doing a checkup. And Gina is our Sunday school director, and I'm going to get her a microphone here. And
because I talk really loud.
And so Gina, share with us our report for this week.
Okay, so for this week, the number of lost people that were prayed for by our small groups was 87, which is awesome. The number of group members who have learned a gospel presentation was 12. The number of unchurched people that were invited by members to attend our group or our church service was 13. And the number of people who group members shared the gospel with this week was 5. So amen. I think that's really awesome for you guys.
I think we can do better, don't you guys, though? Amen. Amen. Good job. Good job. Well, I'm going to ask if some big, ugly, burly-looking men would come up here. I'm going to need your help this morning. And we've got a lot of those, don't we? Look, you notice they just jump up and come, don't they? They just jump up and come. So here's the first thing. We need those passed out. Okay. And then here's some of these. We've just got all kinds of goodies today. So don't ever say I don't ever give you anything, okay? I've got some of these as well. And everybody needs a pen, something to write with. So if you need something to write with, raise your hand, because we need to make sure everybody this morning has got a pen or a pencil. Okay, so anybody over here need a pen or a pencil? Okay, Murray, get up and help pass these out. There you go. Keep your hand raised if you need a pen or a pencil. And no, I'm not passing out candy. No food free samples. This isn't Sam's Club. So, now, does everybody have a sheet of paper that has a scripture verse at the top of it? Everybody have a piece of paper that has a scripture verse at the top of it? Okay, Paula needs some over here. I'm seeing people over here. Okay. You should have a piece of white paper that has a verse at the top. You should have a tract and a pencil. You need all three things. Okay. So up here, up front, they need tracts right up front here. This track. Oh, look over here. Look back here. Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay. Okay, this little section back here needed a track. Anybody else need a track? T-R-A-C-T. That's what you call these. Tract. Back in the back. Okay. Can you all tell this is going to be a different service already? It's going to be different already. Okay. Does everyone have a piece of paper? Everybody have a piece of white paper? half sheet of paper. Anybody need one? Everybody have something to write with? Everybody has a tract. Okay, very good. Well, you guys did a good job. I'm telling you what. Okay. During our Sunday school classes over the last 6 weeks, we have encountered some lessons that were written specifically for the 3151 emphasis. And I want to encourage you to open up your tract. Our first week in this study was One Great God. That was the first week. That study was about that there is one Creator, that there is one God that has created the heavens and the earth, and He created you for a purpose. Okay? I want you to notice how this tract is working. It talked about the one great problem. Another week spoke about the one... Is that the Lord calling? One great problem. What is that problem?
Sin.
It's sin. Okay? We also talked about the one great hope. That was another lesson. You see, each one of these pages coincides with a different week's lesson. Okay? So as you use this tract, and I have more here, you already know the information if you've gone to Sunday school. But the idea of this is that most people do not know how to use a tract properly. You don't just sit down and lay it before somebody, sit down and just read it. This tract, take your tract and hold it like this. Open it up where it says One Great God. You have someone that needs Christ, and you go to share Christ with them. You don't have to have an extensive knowledge of the Scriptures to share the plan of salvation, folks. Okay? And what we're going to do is give you some tools today to be able to share the plan of salvation. Don't be intimidated thinking you have to have all of these answers. So basically, when you use a tract, this is the way it's designed. You open it up where this is facing the person that you're speaking to, and you say, there is one great God. Now, where's the answers for you? It's facing you, right? You see that? This is what's facing you is the information you need to share to the other person. Okay, there's one great God. God proved His own love in us, His own love, because there's one God. It says God singular. Do you see that? God singular. There is one God. The verse doesn't say the gods or one of the gods. God is creator of all things. Acts 17, 24 through 26 reminds us that God made the world and needs nothing from us. God loves us. God is love. He is perfect in His love. And He has proved His love, for God so loved the world. That's how He proved His love. John 3:16, God loves His creation and He has proven His love for us. Why do you think it's important for God to prove His love? That's a question you would ask them at that point. Why do you think it's important for God to prove His love? And listen to their response. Then you open the next one. Now what does it say to them? There's one great problem. You can ask them, what do you think that problem is? There's one God, there's one problem. What do you think that problem is? What does the verse facing you say? Why we were still sinners. Sin is either knowing something is wrong or and doing it anyway, or knowing the right thing to do and not doing it. It means we all have a problem. Romans 3:23 tells us we've all sinned. We have all rebelled against God. We've done it either knowingly or unknowingly. What we deserve for our sin and rebellion is punishment, which is spiritual death. And then you can ask the question, what does this say about humanity? Well, they might say something, well, humanity's in a fix if everybody's sinned. And then we open to the next page. But although there's sin, there is one great hope. What's the picture for hope? It's the cross, right? Christ died for us. We're unable to save ourselves from our sin problem. Only God is great enough to do that. He proved His love for us by sending Jesus Christ as a perfect sacrifice to suffer the penalty of our sin through His death on the cross and resurrection. Now, if you've gone to Sunday school and you've learned these lessons, you know there's additional information that's supporting information that you can bring behind each one of these points as you talk to that individual. But 1 Peter 3:18 says, Christ also suffered for our sins once for all, for righteousness for the unrighteous, that He might bring you to God. Jesus Christ is our one and only way back to God. He is the only way. He is our only hope. And so that requires a decision to repent and believe. We must repent of our sins and believe the gospel. Mark 1:15 tells us, repent and believe the good news. Remember John 3:16? We talked a little bit about it a while ago. For God so loved the world in this way that He gave His one and only Son, that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. We must ask Jesus to save us. Romans 10:13 says, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. See, this is the decision that you have. And so the question next is, why not make this decision now? Do you see? It leads you right to the point. And you go through this. It has the sinner's prayer right there. After they've prayed the sinner's prayer, there's additional information calling for obedience, calling for them to come and to be baptized. The next page talks about their new life in Christ and then how to express their faith. And then in the back, there's a place where you can write your contact information on there for them if you give this to somebody. But it's really easy to use. You just walk through that. Tracts aren't just meant to be tossed at your server's table once you pay a tip. They're meant for you to use as a tool to share the gospel. That's what they're for. And I have plenty of these, and I can get more once they're used up. So if you need some more, come and get them. Come and get them after service. I'll have those here for you. And I also have something very similar. It's the same approach, but it's just on a little different level, a little more cool. Kids, you might like these. Again, you have the one great God, right? Now check this out. It folds up. Look at this. It does some really cool stuff. And so you have the one great God, then you open it up, and it goes to the one great problem, and you work through this thing, and it just keeps folding and keeps folding and keeps folding and keeps folding. And it's really a neat thing. I'm going to give these to, give one of them here. You enjoy playing with that. But I've got several of those, but not enough for everybody. But if you want some of those, I've got those here for you as well. So another way, other than a tract, to share your testimony, to share Christ with somebody, is your testimony. On a Sunday, I guess it's been about 6 months ago, maybe longer, we took some time and we talked about how to share your testimony. And your testimony has three parts to it. It has your life before Christ, how you were in your life before Christ, how you came to know Christ as your Savior, and then what has happened in your life since you have received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Three simple parts. When you share your testimony, it should not take you more than about 3 minutes, 5 minutes max to share your testimony. Some people want to start at the time they were born, tell you every move they've made in their life, and so on. Your testimony shouldn't take 45 minutes, okay? It's very simple. What your life was before Christ, how you were lost, how you didn't have hope, maybe a little bit about your life before, what your life was like, how you had a life-changing experience, who told you about Jesus, how you professed Christ for me. I came to know Jesus by witnessing my brother's baptism. I went and watched my brothers be baptized, and I determined, what was that? Why did they do that? And that set off a chain of questions in my mind. And my mom talked to me about Jesus. And literally, I came to church the next Sunday, and I was playing in the pew, under the pew down below, and I heard the pastor give an invitation. And I jumped up out from under the pew, and I took off, and my mom was trying to grab my hand, thinking I didn't know what I was doing, and I was about 6 years old, and I did. And I remember walking an aisle, I came forward, Brother Howard Allen led me through the sinner's prayer, and I was baptized a week later. That's how I came to know Christ. And then the third portion is, what has your life been since you've come to know Christ? How has the Lord worked in your life since? Your testimony has power. So that's two ways to share the gospel: a Christian tract, your testimony. But I want to share with you, with the remaining time we have today, through what is called a one-verse evangelism or the bridge presentation. So you need your pencil. You need that white piece of paper. This was developed by the Navigators in China, a missionary in China, of how to share the gospel. And at the very top of your page, you have Romans 6:23. This is in the ESV translation, is how it's there. You may know it in a different translation. That's okay. Matt, would you put up the picture of just... Let's see here. Can you see those? Of at the bottom of the page, I want you to draw what looks like two cliffs. Go on to the next one here. Go on to the next one. Okay. See those little, looks like backward L's or two cliffs. Would you draw those on your page this time? It's going to actually be a cliff here in just a moment. Draw those for us. And you may want to, once you get those drawn, and by the way, nothing we're doing today requires any great artistic ability. Does that make you feel better? Okay. And there's some words we're going to use. And notice I have those in boxes on the screen. Wages, sin, death. You might want to underline those. Wages, sin, death, the word but. Gift, God, eternal life, and Christ Jesus. These are the key words that we're going to be working with out of this passage this morning. Okay? Now, the next thing you're going to need to do, if you go to that next slide for me, Matt, is how many of you can draw a stick figure? Can you draw a stick figure? Okay. On the left-hand side, the left-hand little cliff, draw a stick figure. And on the right-hand side, write the word God. Okay? This is a presentation I use a lot, and I'll use a napkin. I'll be at a restaurant, I'll sit down with someone with a pen and a napkin, and I'll write out the verse at the top of it, and then I'll begin doodling. And people watch your pen. People are visual learners. It helps them keep their focus on what you're doing. And so I'll draw my little stick figure, I'll write the word God, and then we have our key words. I'll read the scripture. Now, once I get to this point, I'll read the scripture. So, you know, Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." You know, there's some words that we need to look at in this verse. First of all, on the left-hand side under that stick figure, I want to write the word wages. So write that word right there, would you, with me? Wages. And then I'll proceed this way. Now, you go to work, and you work for what? A paycheck, right? And that paycheck, another word for pay, is a wage. Wages. How would it make you feel if you went to work and they didn't pay you? Might make you mad, wouldn't it? you wouldn't be happy. Well, we earn a wage. There's a wage that we are earning right now. All of us. We're earning a wage. And that wage means a payment. Okay? And what is that earned from? Right below that, I'll write the word sin. Write sin right under wages. What is sin? That's the next question I will ask. Well, what is sin? Anybody want to answer? What's sin?
Going against what God wants you to do.
Okay. Going against anything of God. Okay. And I'll typically ask at this point, have you ever heard of the Ten Commandments? You all heard of the Ten Commandments? Okay. We can name some of those. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You shall not murder. Honor your father and mother. There should be only one God, right? So one of the things I'll do is I'll maybe start going through some of those commandments. Well, sin is this, for example. You ever told a lie? Never told a lie? Something, you know, half-truth is a whole lie, right? Half-truth's a whole lie. So if you've told a lie, that's a sin. You ever stretched the truth? Are you a fisherman? Why are they picking on you, Bill? I don't understand. Why are they picking on you? Well, we've got another little fisherman over here. But anyway, but that's sin. Well, what about some other things? What about, you ever taken anything that didn't belong to you? You know, Halloween's coming up, right? And your kids ever come home with candy for Halloween? And you went in and took some of it? You ever played that role? Let me check your candy for you. You ever done that? I need to make sure this is good, and you grab that candy. Or if I'm talking to a child, I'll ask, have you ever taken a piece of candy that wasn't yours? But truth is that we've probably all done something like that. Well, what about some of these other things? You know, honoring your mother and father. You ever not done that? Okay. These are all sins. They're sins. And the Bible tells us that the wages of our sin, what we earn from our sin, is death. Write down death right underneath that. It's death. When you hear the word death, what comes to your mind? Is there anything that comes to your mind you hear the word death? Grave, finality. You don't ever get to see them anymore. What did you say, Don?
Separation.
Separation. Thank you, Don. And that's exactly what it is. Death is separation. So the wages of our sin is death. It's separation from God. You see God is over here? You see that? The wages of our sin is death, but God is over here. This is you above on this side. And you want eternal life. You desire to have this relationship with God, but because of your sin, you deserve death. And that means separation from God. But, I love this next word, but. Now what I'll do is I'll put the word but in the very center. And sometimes I'll circle it. You can do all kinds of things. There's people, I know some people that right in the very center, they'll make little flames and stuff in the very center between the thing. I'm not that artistic. But this verse doesn't stop there. This verse doesn't cease. God doesn't want us to stay in this situation. He doesn't want you to stay in this situation to where you have no hope. Because He tells us the wages of sin is death, but the free gift, and right under God, I'll write the word gift. 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 And this gift is free. It's free. But you know, all gifts, even though you receive a gift, somebody has to pay for it, right? Somebody pays for everything that we get, whether it's you or someone else. When you have, I loved birthdays when I was a kid. Now that I'm older, you don't get gifts like I used to, right? Same thing Christmas. When you're a kid, you just longed for Christmas. You'd go in under the tree and you'd find presents. And I remember as a kid, I would go in before Christmas and nobody would be home but me. And I learned how to unwrap a present and rewrap it without anybody knowing about it. Yeah. How many of you have ever done that in your life? Now be honest. How many of you are liars right now? Now be honest. Okay. Why? We were so excited about the gift, right? So excited about the gift. And God has a gift that He paid for through Jesus. He paid for this gift, but that gift, put underneath that, is of God. It's of God. God is the one that took care of it. He Himself paid for that gift. How do you feel when someone gives you a gift? Yeah. How do you feel towards them? That's a question that I'll ask. When someone gives you a gift, a really nice gift, how does that make you feel towards them? Delighted. Sometimes it changes your mindset of them, doesn't it? And you know, God's given you a great gift. And what is that gift? Underneath that, I will put the words eternal life. Eternal life. And then I will take and I will draw, look over. I said, what's the opposite of eternal life? Look over here on the left. It's death. It's separation from God. Have you ever thought about eternal life? We were talking about this in Sunday school. Methuselah lived for 900 plus years, but he died. Can you imagine living 900 years? 900 years. You know, we're all just kids. Think about it. But he died. Why? Because 900 years is not eternity. You've heard people say, well, you know, that was an eternity ago. Well, that's just a phrase. Literally, I've got 3 grandkids now, knocking at the door of 50, and I feel like I'm just a kid. Really? Feel like I'm just a kid. You know, I get in that school bus and those kids are talking and sometimes they'll ask me what it was it like whenever I went to school. I'll say, you know what, it really wasn't that long ago. Be honest with you, wasn't that long ago. It just seems like we wake up one day and we're an adult, right? Gosh, I remember wanting to drive a car. But eternal life means there's never an ending. It's never over. We continue. God wants to give us that gift where we're with Him. But this is only through. And now, between the two cliffs, we're going to bridge this, okay? How many of you can draw a cross? Now, I'm not talking about just a stick. We're going to draw the outline of a cross. Won't you do that right there? Draw an outline of a cross. For us to get from one side to the other, it's through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And write Jesus Christ in that cross. It's only through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus came to this earth sinless, died on the cross, and rose from the grave and paid the penalty of our sins for you and me. And what I will do is right at the top of that cross is I'll write the word trust. I'll write the word trust. And I'll ask the question. This means believing. Would you like to today trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? With everything that you've heard, would you like to begin clean? Would you like to begin new? And trust in Him that has the power to forgive you of your sin. Which side of that cliff are you on? Are you on the side that has the stick figure or are you on the side that has God? Because if you want to be on the side that has God, you've got to trust in Jesus as the only way. And there's a little arrow that I might draw there. He is the only way. Now this morning, the purpose of doing this is to teach you how to share the gospel. One simple verse. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Simple. Do you think this is easy? Is it easy? Maybe for you today, though, as you've heard this, you think, you know what, Pastor, you're trying to teach me something that I don't know. I don't know Jesus. And I've never had this shared with me. Well, I want to challenge you today, if you've never received Jesus, that just as we have looked at in the presentation, that He has a free gift that He wants to give you of eternal life. What's keeping you from trusting in Him right now? Well, I want to get my life right. You know what? There's not an instance of anybody in the Bible that said they're going to get their life right and then come to Jesus. He's the one that gets our life right for us. You don't get well to go to the doctor. You go to the doctor to get well. Jesus is the great physician. And we come to Him because we have a problem that we have no answer to, but He provided the remedy for our sin problem. Through Jesus, He poured out His blood for you so that you can have eternal life. And I am so grateful for that little three-letter word, but He has that gift. There's no greater gift that you could ever receive than eternal life. And He wants to give it to you. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, as our instrumentalists are coming, our musicians are coming, would you today like to pray and ask Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior? If you would, you might pray a prayer something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I ask You to forgive me of my sin and to be my Lord and to be my God. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. I believe that He rose from the grave and that He sits at the right hand of You today. And I believe that He's interceding for you right now. I'm asking that in the Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that prayer this morning, the Bible tells us that the angels are rejoicing in heaven because you have just become saved. And if you've done that this morning, I want to encourage you. The Bible tells us that we're to make those decisions public. He says, if you deny me before man, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. Right now, everyone here would love to just celebrate with you. If you prayed that prayer this morning, we're going to stand in just a moment and we're going to sing. I want to encourage you to come forward and I want to pray with you. Father, thank You. Thank You for giving us the opportunity to share the life-changing story of Jesus Christ. Guide us, Lord, to be bold in our witness. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.